Good morning, church family. I want to invite you to stand today. It's time to praise Jesus in this place.
Who was there before there was creation? Who illuminates the stars and sun? Who has set eternity in motion? Oh, there is just one.
That's right.
Who can calm the storm with just a whisper? Who can make the darkest demons run? Who can break the curse of generations? Oh, there is just one.
Let's declare it together.
Who can carry sin upon his shoulders? Who endured the cross and scorned its shame? Who was laid to rest like any other?
All right. your voice.
Now your mercy has saved my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
And now your freedom is all that I know.
Good to see you today and to worship with our Prestonwood family. There is nothing like Prestonwood being here, being together, lifting up Christ. When we lift him up, we get lifted up. And so we are here to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to encourage one another in our faith and to grow and develop as disciples and followers of Jesus. And a big part of what we do every Sunday morning is the fellowship that we enjoy, just friends all around forever. Friends, people, we're going to be sharing eternity together in Christ, so we get a taste of that today. Why don't you turn around and greet some folks around you, make sure that everyone is welcome. And we do want to welcome every one of you online right now, wherever you are across America and around the world. You're at Prestonwood. God bless you, and thank you for joining us today. Go ahead and take a seat, everyone, and focus your attention on the baptistry, in which we have brand new believers who are following Christ in the obedience of their faith.
We have 17 following Christ in baptism this morning. This is Anna Grace Carter.
And this is Sarah Catherine Carter.
And this is Barrett Popst.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now we have a family of six. This is Bodie Popst.
And this is Jackson Popst.
And this is Copeland Pops.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Hannah Garcia.
And this is Angelina Garcia.
And this is Stephen Galliano.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to his command, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right there. This is Susan Wyatt.
And this is Baylor Schillinger, who accepted Jesus as his Lord just last week in church.
Amen.
And this is Randall Wyatt.
Because of your public professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here we go. This is Seal Kim.
And this is Sun G. Moon.
And this is Paisley Robinson.
Because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we have two more. That's okay. We'll get you out here. This is Kathy Jones. You want to come right here?
Okay. Somebody better support me.
We got you right here. Just stand right here.
Okay. Here.
This is Miss Tracy Hodge right here.
All right. Why don't you cross your arms for me? And I got you. Because of each of your professions of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Do you need my glasses?
Here we go. You did it.
Okay.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, I like that. Here we go. Here we go. And you know, when you become a follower of Jesus, you want everyone to know. So we go in Jesus' name. That's what Prestonwood is committed to doing over these days, and that is to go in Jesus' name. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So once again, to everyone who's worshiping with us online, literally around the world, also on PowerPoint, television, and the Ministry of Media here at Prestonwood, and to everyone in this room, we're really glad that you're here. I would encourage you to go to Guest Central if you are a guest today. How many guests do we have in the room? You're not a member of Prestonwood. Could I see your hands so that we could greet you? Welcome to all of our guests. Go to Guest Central. We have one of my books that we want to give you. It's available to you as our gift, and we have some other goodies out there as well. So Guest Central is right in the atrium. We would love to get to know you better and share with you a little more about our church and about the Lord. If you have a need for Christ in your life, we'd love to talk to you about that today. So it's a little hot in Texas, in case you haven't noticed. And so it feels pretty good to be in the pool. Speaking of the pool, we've got a brand new redone, reset fountain area outside in the front where we do outdoor baptisms. And that's coming up, I believe, 3 weeks from today. So if you'd like to be baptized, we're going to go all in at our baptistry service outdoors in 3 weeks. But God's given us a great summer in so many ways, whether it is mission trips or students and camps and various kinds of ministries within the community. It's a great summer. We're not quite done with summer yet, and the heat tells us that. But we are getting back to school here at Prestonwood Christian Academy, and many of our public schools and other private schools are getting back this week and certainly over the next couple of weeks. And many of our students from our student ministry and friends of our church are going off to university, college, some into the workforce. But we just wanted to take time today to pray for this school year. And more than the year, we wanted to pray for our students. And then, of course, if you have students, you have teachers, and you have a faculty and administrators and leaders within our schools. And this goes for our public schools as well as our private schools, and certainly for Preston Wood Christian Academy. We love PCA, and we're very grateful that our school is flourishing. But we also pray for every one of the schools in our area and the people who attend them, for parents and families. And so we want to take time, as we do every summer like this, to pray for this brand new school year, and specifically to pray for our administrators, our teachers, coaches, leaders in schools, and those students. And I know I needed a lot of prayer when I went off to school, so I know our students do as well. So let's do it this way. If you are a teacher, you are a school teacher, would you stand first? And we want to recognize you. All of our school teachers in the room, upstairs and downstairs, just remain standing. Just remain standing. That includes coaches as well, because you know coaches are educators as well. And so if you're a coach, a teacher, and now with the school administrators stand, I know we have Dr. Mike Goddard, I see Dr. Clarence Williams, Todd Graham, Jeremiah Johnston, others who are leading in administration. And we're going to be praying for you this year as you have young lives in your hands to shape them spiritually as well as intellectually, and that you would be fully prepared and engaged in the assignment that God has given you to teach from the perspective of a biblical worldview. That's what we do here at Prestonwood Christian Academy. Our education is through the lens of the Scripture, because God's Word speaks wisdom. And it's good to get knowledge, it's good to get an education, but it is best to get a full-orbed education with the Word of God and the wisdom that comes from God. And you can do that as a public school teacher, as well as our PCA and other Christian school leaders here today. You have an influence and you have an opportunity, and we understand that there are some restrictions these days on what's going on maybe at your school, but your light is going to shine. We have a theme here at PCA this year, and it's all about the light, letting the light shine. And when the light of Jesus comes, enlightenment comes. And that's the illumination that comes from knowing Christ and following Him. So I'm going to ask that we all stand together right now in oneness with our teachers and our school leaders. And would you join me in prayer for these right now? We thank you, O God, for the wisdom that comes from you and your will that puts us in place in order that we might serve you. We know that we are made for a purpose, and we were made on purpose for your plans and your purposes in our lives. And we pray for these men and women who have been called and now just commissioned in this sense today for a brand new school year. I pray that they would have the energy they need physically and emotionally to do the job that you've assigned them, because we do know that young lives are to be shaped and molded according to your word, according to your truth. So you do that through people. And so we ask you, God, that the people who are standing here before you, that you would bless them and give them favor. May your faithfulness and your goodness move in every one of their hearts, because we know they have so much to give when it comes from you. And so we commit these to you. We pray for the students, some who are going off to colleges and universities. We pray for your protection upon them and your presence in their lives. Wherever they go, may they always look to you, and the things that they've learned in their homes and in their schools, that they would take that with them in the name of Jesus. We pray for them, that you would bring the right kind of friends into their lives and the people into their lives, professors and others, who will enhance and encourage them in their walk with you. And Lord, for the students here in our community as a part of our church and friends of our church, we pray for them, from the smallest to the oldest, from that child just getting started to the one who's on their last lap in the 12th grade year. We just pray for each one of them. Lord, may this be a time in their lives of spiritual as well as intellectual growth. May your love and your peace and your joy fill our students each day. And we pray that this year would be the greatest year of their lives for these teachers, for these leaders, administrators, and students. Let this be the greatest school year of their lives. We do want to pray for Prestonwood Christian Academy. We thank you for our school, and we pray your blessings upon Dr. Goddard and his team of leaders and administrators and faculty. May you give us, Lord, a fantastic season of life and legacy of this great school as we launch young men and women into the world in your name. So, Lord, we give you these. We ask you now that you would take the remainder of this service as we worship, as we walk with you in the Word, and grow us up, light us up, that we might live for you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, go ahead and just remain standing. I'm really glad to see you, and I'm looking forward to hearing in this service Dr. Mike Goddard, who's going to be bringing the message. We've been hearing from our pastors and preachers here at Prestonwood, and haven't they done a great job? And they really have, each one of them. And so on this day in which we are recognizing back to school, if you will, Dr. Mike Goddard, who is superintendent of our Prestonwood system of schools, will be delivering the message. He's an unbelievable communicator. He and Dina are active members of Prestonwood, serving the Lord here and have for many years. And so God is going to give Mike a word from God as he preaches from the parables today, a tale of two prayers. As we're finishing up our Tell Me the Story of Jesus series over the next couple of weeks. In the second service, Dr. Jeremiah Johnston, who heads Worldview, Minister of Apologetics here at Prestonwood, both church and school. So we're going to hear from two of our very finest who are committed to raising up our students God's way in these days. So Mike, God bless you as you come to bring God's Word. We thank you for your incredible energy, your boundless service for the Lord here at Prestonwood. So just looking at the program this morning, the worship guide, we're about to sing two of my favorite songs. So let's sing it with all of our hearts as we worship the Lord.
Yeah. God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
One more time.
So praise God.
Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Welcome your presence into this place.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonder. Your power has no things you've done before in greater measure you will do again, 'cause there's no prison wall you can't break through, no mountain you can't move. All things are possible. There's no broken body you can't break.
Come awaken your people. Come awaken your city. Oh God of spent any time with us this summer, you've had a chance to hear lots of different parables and stories. And what I can attest to is a person who's an educator for a long time, Jesus is the greatest teacher of all time. And I can show you the evidence of that piece, because even as we evaluate educators, and all my educators in the room will know this, even as I as a teacher, one of the things that I was evaluated on, one of the primary pieces is a teacher would, you'd come in, and they would evaluate you based off of really the three C's: content, context, and cognitive thinking. And just to reflect for just a moment, as we start thinking about Jesus, the great teacher, content, we typically look at what they're teaching. Context, how they're teaching. And the cognitive level is at what level of thinking is happening, not just for the teacher themselves, for those they are teaching too. In addition to that, why he is the greatest teacher of all time and a great model for those of us in education, because he also looks at his learners and adapts his message. We've seen that throughout the different parables as well. And I would encourage you, if you're new to the Bible, it is the greatest playbook of all time. You can look for a lot of other books that maybe find answers, but there's only one book that has every answer, and that's the Bible. It is the primary textbook that we use at Prestonwood Christian Academy. I told all new parents just the other day that your number one school supply this year is to bring out your Bible. And I'll tell you, one of the things he also does, Jesus does throughout our time in the parables, is one of the things he does is he looks at the types of learners. They could be a tactile learner, which means that they like to touch things. They like to be able to have centers, like we like to call it in kindergarten. It's my favorite thing, right, kindergartners? Centers. Maybe it's an auditory learner, someone who's like in this setting right now where you listen, and some of you maybe even gone from books where you do audible books, and he does a great job at that as well. But maybe even it's kinesthetic learners, those who have movement. He is the greatest teacher of all time, because as you look throughout, he takes where you are in your journey and he makes an application that is so powerful. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a little fair warning today. When I first got a chance and I saw my name that I get a chance to preach on Sunday morning, I thought it was a mistake at first. I thought, well, maybe they moved my name over from the welcome to that piece of it, because we'll talk about this, but many times the devil whispers in your ear that you're not worthy. And so even as you join me this morning, I'm thankful for the many prayers that I look out the people here, because I battle that every day, like many of you, about whether being worthy in Christ. But we know that we are. And it's a great story today to be able to know that as well. And you start thinking about the journey of where you're at. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you just to pause and reflect for just a second to think about your journey and how you arrived here today. Now, I'm not talking about vehicle or whether you logged on online. Think about where you are in your life today. I spent some time in here Friday afternoon, and this place was empty. After realizing it's very intimidating, what I did realize is I began to pray for every one of you that are sitting in a seat today. Because I don't know where you are in your journey, but as I reflect right now, I realize some amazing things God has done in mine. Over 22 years ago, I met my incredible wife in the singles group here at Prestonwood. The same lovely woman that just recently, as we celebrated our 20th anniversary, she convinced me to do something that I didn't want to do. We went parasailing this year. Now, I cannot deny or confirm whether or not I was screaming like a third grade girl when I was 80 feet in the air. But there's lots of different pictures of true love, and this was one of them. She's very convincing, and she's changed my life forever. You know, even she sent me on an errand. Guys, you know how this happens sometimes. You get sent on an errand. I was up at her parents' place. And it's up in the hills of Kentucky, and the closest Walmart, you know you're in the hills of Kentucky or far out when the closest Walmart is 45 minutes away. Amen? Yes. So I pulled out my ways. I found a shortcut. I had to cross the state line in Tennessee to find it, but I found myself, in brief, as I pulled up ways, I had to take a right on Squirrel Run Road, then take a left on Buck Mountain Road, and then to get to the Walmart, It was unbelievable when we started talking about, when I get to the Walmart, I found out, unless I had seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe it. I had to take a right on Possum Squat Road. You find yourself sometimes in life thinking, how did I get here? And maybe that's even today when you start thinking about your life, you're thinking, how did I get here? And even as I reflect today, and you're going to hear this through the two prayers that we get a chance to study in Luke 18, I even as I walked up, if you notice, I paused for a second on that second step on that stage, and I'll tell you why here in a little bit. We're going to be out of Luke 18, verses 9 through 14 today. We're going to talk about the tax collector and the Pharisee. And it's an incredible story, but here's what I would tell you. Look at your toes right now and say, get ready, because they're about to get stepped on. I got this assignment 8 weeks ago, and I've been studying this parable. You know, one of the things I would encourage you to do is just take something like a parable like this and start to study it for a time. And you're going to be amazed how much more meaning it has when you start digging into the word. What I'll tell you is I give you a little backstory on this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we'll go into it and we'll read it. But I don't know what journey that led these two men to the temple. It was likely that they came either mid-morning or mid-afternoon for the time of prayer at the temple in Jerusalem. Temples were all over the place. The Pharisee, he decides he wants to go to the outer court because the inner court's reserved for the priests, but he wanted to go to the outer court because he knew he'd be seen. The tax collector, he doesn't really care because he's just even embarrassed to even try to approach it. He just knows that the word of God has probed his heart and he has reached a point of brokenness that he just wants to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, I would be real cautious to tell you this. Be careful judging either one of these guys, because as I started studying, and it'll probably be the same for you here in just a little bit, you're going to see yourself in one or both of these men. So let's read it here in Luke 18, 9 through 14. He also told this parable to some who tested in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. So he's talking to most likely a group of people and probably his disciples who were feeling pretty good about themselves. They probably received their, you know, the 12 disciple letter jacket at this point with the big D. They've got the patch of fed the 5,000, woman in the well patch over here. They're feeling pretty good about themselves. Matter of fact, these disciples are the same guys that later on argue about who's the greatest of them all amongst them. And so Jesus sees this, and being the great teacher, he says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even like this tax collector right over there. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I get. But then the tax collector, standing far off, wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now let's look at each of these characters within that. Obviously, we got the tax collector and the Pharisee. So let's start with the Pharisee. It's easy pickings right there, right? As you look at this Pharisee, one of the things you'll recognize that Jesus didn't condemn his righteous behavior, but he did condemn his self-righteous behavior. You with me? He was doing some amazing and great things, but for the wrong motive. Now, in this short prayer, did you notice how many times the word I was said? Four different times in that short prayer. He trusted himself and his own sufficiency. He realized he didn't really need to confess because he'd been a keeper of the law. He references others in a negative way in his prayer. At least I'm not like him. And he forgets what God's grace is all about. One of the biggest lessons you can see is that Christ desires authenticity. Rules versus relationship. What do I mean by that? He wants us absolutely to do the things that bring glory to him, but with the right motivation. Not that we try to impress others. Today's a bit of an oil check for me, as I hope it is for you, of making sure the motivation that I have and the things that I do isn't just a checklist. I think of a story just a few years ago when I decided that I was going to help a buddy out. And what I did was, and I'm laughing, you're going to see why, because it's so embarrassing. I decided that I was going to help a buddy out when he says, hey, can you come help me work some cattle? For those who've worked cattle, they're all looking at me going, oh man, they're shaking their head right now. For those of you online, you may realize here in Texas, working cattle is an intensive thing. It's not like what you see on TV, as I found out very quickly, but I knew this, I had to at least dress the part. So I went to the local Goodwill, and I knew I could find some boots and maybe some Wranglers and some, at least a shirt and potentially a cowboy hat. So sure enough, I go to my local Goodwill, and I picked up some boots. Now, I wear a size 13. I found 11 and a half. That was the closest I could do. I found some jeans, and they were a little snug. This is about 15, 20 years ago. I'll just say this. I made skinny jeans popular before they're skinny. You with me? I found a shirt that had the pearl buttons. I won't tell you what I look like, Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, but it was pearl buttons. I had lots of colored shirt, and sure enough, I found an old cowboy hat. I walk out there, and I more look like an urban cowboy than the guy who's going to work the cattle there, but these guys are very kind. They're not laughing at me, but at least I look the part. And sure enough, we show up, and I look at these cattle, and I'm pretty sure half of them had played middle linebacker for the Chicago Bears at some point because they were huge. And so the very first thing he asked me to do, he goes, simple, I'm going to drop you off here, Mike. What I want you to do is we've got to give them some medicine today, and so what I want you to do is I'm going to ask you just to get the cattle to go that way and into the chute. And I'm thinking, I got this. This is good. I played football. I'm ready to go. I got my stance ready. I'm looking good. I'm looking the part. You ever had those moments in life when you just got something, you can't remember exactly what you're supposed to say? Now, I was going to give it a big yee-haw, kind of, yeah, one of those that can be a very intimidating piece for the cattle to move that way. But I got up, I had my stance ready, and I went, yippee! I'd been had at that moment. They discovered that I didn't know what I was doing, and the rest of the day continued on, and it was the comedy fest of Mike's cowboy adventures. You know, one of the pieces is that even though I was dressed the part, one of the biggest things I will tell you is that it wasn't authentic. It wasn't real. And even though I may have looked like a cowboy, I couldn't fulfill it because when I was tested, my heart and mind and my actions, they didn't follow through. I think it's very important for us to be reminded that God doesn't have a checklist in heaven. We don't arrive and we don't take out our resume and we hand it to him and say, look at all the great things I've done. Doesn't matter to God if you didn't do it with the right heart and the right intent. It tells us in 1 Peter 1:7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes through its tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we're reminded in 1 Corinthians 11:19, as a matter of fact, for there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you be recognized. God desires the raw and realness of who we are. He knows us. And the crazy thing is, we try to hide it from him as if he doesn't see it. Here's the great news, is that he loves us unconditionally in spite of knowing everything about us. He knows the heart of that Pharisee who was lifting up prayers first of thanks, and then guised in all the things that he had done for his glory, not Christ. C.S. Lewis has a great quote, and it says, don't shine so that others can see you. Shine that through you, others can see him. I pray that every day, because the world wants you to glorify yourself and lift yourself up. The world counts on how many followers you have on social media. The world wants to be able to see you and lift you up, but then they want to tear you down. And here's what I will tell you as we start moving into and looking at the tax collector. It's a very different story. Now, as we look at the tax collector, understand, God doesn't condone his sin, but he did create his forgiveness. He doesn't condone his sin, but he did create his forgiveness. You know, this guy, I did research, and he's employed by the Romans. He's an object of scorn amongst his people. He has a debt that he can't pay, a literal debt he can't pay. He's full of shame, guilt, anger. And his expression for this weight and this cry for mercy comes out and says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It really comes out of Psalms 51:10, where it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Please, Lord, renew me. Have mercy on me. I'm really glad that when the tax collector arrived and he heard the Pharisee talking smack about him, that he didn't listen. Can I implore us all, church, for one thing? Jesus doesn't want us just to come to church and act a part. He wants us to be the church and show his heart. That's what we're called to do. You know what I fall into often is very much like the Pharisee does, where I want to tear others down. It's a natural thing, especially when I'm driving on the tollway. But at all times, he wants us to be lifting others up. The tax collector came to the temple, barely. As a matter of fact, he was on the fringes of the temple. And he showed up with empty hands and a hurting heart. And he comes to the temple with a God focus as well. For many of us, the enemy is holding us back. My prayer as I walk through this room and as I started thinking about all of those of you online who are logging in, that Satan's been holding you back from something. I'm so excited because my mom is here today and I'm going to tell this story about her. And it's a good story, Mom. Hi, Mom. I love you. My mom used to take me to the zoo a lot. Anybody been to the zoo? Oh, it's awesome, isn't it? Now, you would think I would love the majestic lions or the beautiful peacocks or the peppy penguins, right? But no, my favorite animal was the enormous elephant. I love the elephants. As a matter of fact, I remember going with my mom, and at one point I saw an elephant that's huge. I mean, these are like multi-ton elephants, right? They're monstrous. And yet, I saw the elephant had a rope tied around its ankle and a stake in the ground, and it couldn't go anywhere. Now, I'd studied enough at that time to realize these are strong animals. At any point that they wanted to, they could break that rope. So I looked at Mom and I said, Mom, why in the world is that elephant not breaking the rope? And she said, because they're trained not to. Did you catch that? See, when they're young, what happens to them is they have a chain that they actually can't break that is put around their ankle and a stake in the ground. And when they tug against that and they're a little rambunctious, they realize they can't get away. And what happens over time is as they grow up, they don't have to do a chain. They just put a rope around there, and it's almost as if they realize, no longer try. Can I tell you, the devil tries to do the exact same thing to every single one of us in this room. It's a battle every day. There's a constant battle for your heart, mind, and soul. And what Satan wants to do is he wants to keep that rope tied around your ankle so that you don't accomplish all the things that Christ can do for you and through you. The tax collector came to the outer part of the temple broken and realized he was being held back. And for many of us, we've got restrictions of our guilt, our pain, our shame, because what we've experienced a long life. Maybe you even had a Pharisee in your life at some point along the time, along your journey, that said things that hurt you in the church. Maybe you've had people in your life that didn't lift you up. Maybe you've done things in your life that bring shame or guilt. But the devil wants us tethered to that chain, to that around our ankle and to that post so that we can't do the miracles that Christ wants to do in our lives. The real hope's in the second step. And what do I mean by that? Well, most of the time, the first steps in life are celebrated. For example, the baby's first step. Isn't it cute? I don't know why we laugh at first step and tumble, but it's always a very cute thing, right? Or the first step in a diet process or a recovery process. The first step is lifted up as it should be. But you want to know where the real hope comes from? The real hope comes from the second step. We see it in the tax collector and the Pharisee. The tax collector took the first step of coming to the temple. Can you imagine the courage it took to come to the presence of the temple, even if he got seen at all, with all the guilt, shame, and the things he did? Probably the people he owed money to were there at the temple even. But he took that first step, and he came to the temple. But he took the second step by falling into Jesus' arms and realized that he couldn't do anything on his own. Now, the Pharisee took the first step of doing the right things in God's eyes, but he failed in the second step, in the purposes behind his pursuit for righteousness. For me, the second step was 23 years ago. I literally walked down from section 304 in the back there, and I took a knee at that second step on this stage. Matter of fact, you know we've renovated quite a bit, but when they started renovating, I snuck in here. Sorry, Pastor. I snuck in here, and I asked them to cut me a carpet square off of that second step. I keep it with me a lot. And it's not something I worship as an idol or anything. It's a constant reminder and a benchmark for me because this is tear-stained carpet. Because I remember 23 years ago, in the darkest place of my life, being broken, betrayed, hurt, and in a journey in a place that I never dreamed before. I was lonely. I'd been following Christ, but I was fading to the back. And Pastor shared a message that day was about God's grace and mercy. And I remember I had this literal Bible here that has been my sword, my shield, my light to my path every day since then. And it's worn out. I was hoping it didn't fall apart as I walked up here. Because that second step, as I was up here, I'm reminded that the devil wanted to take us back to that brokenness, pain, and to hold us back from wherever we are today. I want to caution you because whether it's the Pharisee or the tax collector, if you're very comfortable, it's the most dangerous place you could be. Because the devil loves you being there. But if you're in a place along your journey of brokenness, hurt, pain, confusion, you're not alone. You have to understand that there cannot be a testimony without a test. There cannot be a message without a mess. There cannot be purpose without pain and a God that saves and covers it all. Amen? Because what you need to understand, amen, is that God knows and he sees your heart right now. He knows where you're at. Quit trying to dress up and play a part because he knows your heart. It tells us in Revelation 12:11, that the way we defeat the darkness is really by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Too many of us are sitting down waiting for others to share what Christ does in their life. Can I help you with this? Your testimony isn't about you, it's about him. And that's the greatest thing ever. If it was about us, wah, wah. I mean, we all got Jerry Springer stories, right? Here's what I will tell you. The greatest thing is what Christ can do through us and through us to others. Colossians 3:23 tells us as well, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord. Not for who? Not for man. Knowing that the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus. You ought to do a collective. Because guess what? That person to your left and right, it's not about them. That person that you can point that finger to and put it on your chest, it's not about you. It's about him and what we can do for him. Oh, it's hard, y'all. I understand it. It's challenging. We have a theme this year of being the light. And talking about being the light at Prestonwood Christian Academy as we work with our students and our teachers. But I told them, and they would let me do this on a t-shirt. Some of my friends are here today. They've got the Be the Light shirt on. But I wanted them to put a little subtitle line and say, and it's not about me. Because as the light comes about, it's about the light of Christ. May I never forget on my best day that I still needed God as desperately as I did on my worst day. So I paused on that second step over there on the way up today. I spent some time there, a long time on Friday, thinking, thank you, Lord. I couldn't have ever dreamed getting a chance to see the things that God's done through my life. In the world's eyes, they may look great and they may be wonderful things, but they're all temporal. I went to look for my trophies the other day and realized I couldn't find them. I don't know where they are. I called my mom and she said, I think they're in the attic. But think about how many trophies we chase for that temporal peace. There's only one trophy we should be pursuing. And it's the heart that pursues Christ as he consumes it. Now make no mistake, the content of your heart is of far greater importance than the size of your bank account, the number on your waistband, or even the title that you hold. Nothing's more valuable than a great heart filled with the right content. We see that clearly in the parable. And Christ, with all intents and purposes, wants your heart to be with him. Can I give you a charge and a challenge as we wrap up this morning? It's a simple one, but it's powerful. The first is you got to show up. Now, I don't mean always just in a literal sense of being a part of the fellowship of the church. That's absolutely a big part of it. But you got to show up in your heart. Friends, we pursue so many other things than what we should be pursuing. Both of these men showed up to the temple. Both of them found Jesus. And for some of you, showing up may be a decision to follow Christ for the very first time. Quit running after all those other things. Because can I tell you, I've had them, I've lost them, I've been there, and I've done that. And nothing brings the satisfaction that it does when you're in a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, it's not enough to show up, because I call that almost a firework faith at sometimes, where you may come to Christ, but then you leave it at that. Brothers and sisters, this is the part where I don't want to step on your toes, but I love you enough to do it. If from your day of when you come to Christ and you showed up, you haven't grown a bit, I want to implore you that today's the day that you take off that rope and you say, my victory is in Christ. Devil, I'm done listening to you. I want to step up. I want to step up and know that Christ, it's not me, it's you. And I want to be able to bring glory to you in all things that I do. Not for me, but for you. So you show up and you step up. But can I tell you? The tax collector came to the temple, beating his chest, saying, "Lord, have mercy on me." And he wouldn't look up until he felt the loving embrace of Christ. Now, you notice I didn't say look in, because you could read 100 self-help books a month and still it's temporary. You can't just look in. Now, you could look out and try to find the approval of the man and woman that's next to you, but can I tell you something? After 53 years of life, man will fail you. Even those who love you the most. God never fails. So rather than looking in or looking out, look up. He's there. He's with us at every moment of our lives. As we stand today, and I would just ask you to join me because I'm going to do a challenge for you and I want to do an invitation time as well. I want to take the last few moments and just even as I look around the room today, I'm amazed at how God has orchestrated for you to be here in this moment. And even as I look at the camera, those who are online today watching this very message, you're here for a reason and purpose. For some of you today, it is time to show up. It's time for you to make that decision to follow Christ. And I'm going to tell you it's the greatest decision you'll ever make. But it won't be easy because there's a battle for your heart, mind, and soul every single day. But the great thing is, you know what my incredible playbook tells me? Playbook for life is we have the victory in Him already. And that is why I share with you, if you've never made a decision for Christ, today's the day. I know that there has to be someone in here that that's the case for. But for others of us, it's time to step up. Maybe it's a membership here at Prestonwood Baptist and you've been kind of on the fringe and you've been looking. As a matter of fact, I spent time with a gentleman the other day that would show up on Sundays and he would just park in the parking lot because he was embarrassed to come in. Does it sound like our parable a bit? And maybe it's for us because we got to make sure we're not acting like the tax collector to judge those who may be broken in a way we've never seen before. We've all got a story. Maybe some of you need a second step experience like I had 23 years ago. And I've been living that second step experience every day since. And I want to invite you, if you want to pray that, I will tell you, we won't judge you. We'll embrace you as a picture of what Jesus will do as well. But even if you don't come forward today during our invitation time, what I will tell you is this, it's time to look up. Quit looking around the world and worrying about what's going on. We have the victory. Quit watching TV and being worried about what's happening. We have the victory. Quit worrying about what's going to happen with your children, because if you lift them up and dedicate them to the Lord, we have the victory. When you look up, you know you've got the victory. Can you imagine playing a game when you know you've already won? We won, y'all. Do you know that? So let's start living like that. Let's start embracing each other as fellow believers. Let's be able to, even though we may have our differences and we may not always get along, to know that in Christ we are connected for eternity. And maybe today is the day that you're reminded of that. They're going to play, and I'm going to pray, because I know that there's someone out here that needs Jesus. I know there's some of us that need to step up and remove what the devil has been putting around us maybe for years, like he did for me when I was sitting in the back of section 304. That first step, it was glorious. But that second step, it gave me all the hope I ever needed. So if that's you today, I'll have ministers up here. I'll have them in the balconies as well. But let's sing this song as after we pray this. Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity today. We thank you for bringing us to this moment, to this journey. For many of us, it's been challenging and difficult. And Lord, I don't even know how some of us even got here today to where we are. But we know this. We got the victory in you. And as we fall into your arms, Lord, we thank you. Give us the courage and boldness to reach out for those who need to be a part of the kingdom of God and to make a decision for Christ today. Give us the courage and the boldness to come out. For those of us who need to be a part of this church, Lord, give us the boldness to come out. For those of us who have had that ankle tied by that rope that the devil wants us to stay back and not do, all that we can do for you, let it be broken today. And let us commit ourselves to know that through us, you can do a mighty work. In your name we pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text JESUS to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.